everyone, and welcome. You're listening to Republic Broadcasting at republicbroadcasting.org. Today is Monday, September 12th, 2022. I'm your host, Richard Carey, and this is Beyond the Official Narrative. And I am proudly bringing you today a fresh installment of UK Monday here on Beyond the Official Narrative. Every so often, I have the opportunity to get a couple of great UK minds together. I have, of course, my regular Monday co-host, as always today, Paul Edward Stevenson. Hello, Paul.
Hey, Richard. Good to be with you.
Good to be with you as well, my brother. And in addition to make it an official UK Monday, I also have Mr. Graham Sutherland with us as well. So we have both London and Inverness, Scotland represented. Hello, Graham.
Hi, Richard. It's an honor to be here. Thank you.
Indeed. And of course, well, Paul is Irish. So, of course, he's representing Ireland as well today, for that matter. I noticed there's news
very
about...
True.
What's that?
I said very true, but you know, it's kind of weird, and maybe Graham will understand this, but if you're brought up from Northern Ireland, which is part of the UK, but then you have a struggle there in Northern Ireland, which is what all the fighting was about, between whether you're British and a loyalist to the Crown, or whether you're Irish. And then I was brought up on the Irish side, but it's still Northern Ireland, it's still part of the UK, and there is that influence. And then I've got English blood on my mother's side. And then, actually, I've spent more time in England now than I have in Ireland. I sometimes I just don't know. I've got more Irish blood, but I feel sort of very Anglo-Irish. It's a bit confusing.
Well, I don't know. I'm inclined to trust a Scot or an Irishman more than the British from just their history. But, you know, maybe perhaps that's just me. But no, nothing against the British. The British people, my significant other is British, so I'll get in trouble later if I...
She's a posh girl too from Kensington.
The thing is, Richard, it wasn't the British people in the past really that caused the problems. It was a brutal English aristocracy, and the same bloodlines are still in power, tragically.
Yeah, I've heard a lot of people questioning whether the bloodlines were altered, centuries past, and for that matter, swapped with some sort of international elite bloodlines, if you will. But, you know, at the news of the day, this morning, it seems like, among other things, at least, Ukraine is back in the news, unfortunately. Have to cover when it is present. We have many parts of Ukraine in total darkness under a total... electricity blackout.
Yeah.
After some missiles. The Russian army hit CHPP-5, the largest thermal power plant in Ukraine, in Kharkiv. Due to a power outage, the subway stopped. In addition, a large number of cities and towns are still without electricity. The supply of energy will soon be restored, according to that tweet from Ukraine Now. But of course, they're going to say that. Another from a tweet from Cloudflare Radar, internet traffic disruptions in part of Ukraine with several outages after 1700 UTC, including the Kharkiv and nearby cities as well. Cloudflare data also shows a clear drop in traffic in Sumy and Kramatorsk.
Sumy.
And then a power blackout.
Is Sumy? Did you say Sumy there?
Yes,
has that been hit as well?
Yes.
That's my new girlfriend to be. That's where her family are, and they've been worried about that. But I noticed when it was up, Kharkiv up in the northeast of Ukraine. I thought that's actually pretty close to Sumy. You know, it's real tragedy what's happening there. It was so avoidable as well, unnecessary. You know.
Yeah, and I mean, this is all not representing what the Ukrainian people. I mean, this is all for East-West politics, and you know, multipolar. Economic shifts.
And there was. I was going to say at the weekend in that counteroffensive, there was over the last few days, there was 4,000 of them went through that meat grinder. 4,000 Ukrainian dead, according to Russia Today.
Not everything out of there is going to be, 100% accurate, but it's going to be a lot more accurate than our media. And it's just a tragedy. It's another Jewish war for Jewish interests who hate the Ukrainians, who hate the Russians, and they're sending those young Ukrainians to their death in a war that they can never win. And they're just literally cannon fodder out there,
There was one more tweet, Save Ukrainian Souls, Twitter. Huge, with a video, a lot of fire in the video. Huge fire after Russian cruise missile hit critical power hub, Hashtag substation in Kharkiv region, eastern Ukraine. Go ahead, Graham.
I was going to say, those big industrial transformers, they're actually full of oil. I don't know if you realize that or not. They use oil for cooling. It's quite similar to diesel. It's quite a thin kind of, quite a thin oil that they use. And it has to be swapped out every so often because it goes off. So, yeah, they're quite explosive, a big transformer.
And, of course, another article I shared with you gentlemen, if you had a chance to look, showing a chart, countries committing the most military aid to Ukraine from January 24 to August 30 of 2022 in billions of U.S. dollars. It's basically practically all the United States, a little portion, say maybe 15% compared to that from U.K., United Kingdom, where you gentlemen are. And other than that, hardly anything from most other countries. Maybe a little less than half of that from Poland, a bit less than Poland, like two-thirds of Poland from Germany, a third of Poland from Canada. And then the other countries, it's barely even a mentionable amount compared in comparison. The others on here, Czech Republic, Latvia, Australia, Estonia, France, like you're talking like 0.25 billion tops compared to 25 billion from the U.S. just this year alone.
A lot of these people, though, Poland and so on, Richard, and France as well, they're donating more hardware than hard cash.
I mean, I'm seeing that they're already pulling away, though, with the energy crunch and the food crunch. I mean, ordinary people are going to get destroyed. And, it seems like these World Economic Forum types want that for the citizens of both the United States and Europe. This war is just one more way to facilitate that, just like the COVID mass spending. Basically, universal basic income, COVID money we had for a while there, and now the inflation it's causing. Of course, raising the rates for the banks is going to help the wealthiest a little bit. Is all that will do, I'm seeing a lot of articles saying most of Europe, it's not going to be long before it's just not worth the devastation to their people regarding food and fuel.
No.
Well, Annalena Baerbock, who we spoke about last week, of course. She doesn't care, does she? She doesn't even care about not caring in front of the German people. She supports the Ukraine and her commitments to the Ukraine, like I spoke about last week, quote, no matter what my German voters think. But I did an interview with E. Michael Jones last night, and Mike was also talking about this so-called German foreign minister on a different podcast. And there was quite a big German audience, and someone from Germany phoned in and pointed out to E. Michael Jones that Baerbock is not German; she's a Jew. So I don't know how we missed that one, but that makes total sense. We went into that quite a lot, really, the Jews and their hatred of Germany and what's going on there. But yeah, Annalena Baerbock, she's a Jew. There was also 70,000 people marched in the Czech Republic last weekend against NATO membership and against the sanctions in Russia. So our media is not really reporting on this, but there's a lot of unrest in Europe because they know what's coming down the tracks, and
Graham,
I heard something quite interesting. The U.S. arms industry have had to hold up production of the F-35. They've got a whole load of orders with different air forces around the world, but they've had to hold up they've ceased production of the F-35 because they can't get a rare earth mineral. I think it's molybdenum or something. It's on the periodic table. It's one of these rare earth minerals you don't really hear much about. But they can't get it, and the only place to get it is China. And, of course, China's not going to help the U.S. arms industry anymore the way the U.S. is postulating in the South China Sea, you know, and tensions are up and everything. So, yeah, F-35 production stopped. Another thing worth mentioning as well is all the foundries across Europe have stopped. So they've stopped aluminium production, they've stopped copper production, steel production, all of that stopped because it requires large amounts of gas. So, I mean, you know, when you start joining all the dots, I mean, what do you need copper for? What do you need steel sheeting for? I mean, everything is, you know, reliant on that. And also, there's a shortage of fertilizer because most fertilizer comes out, and cement, because most fertilizer and cement, as well as grain, comes out of Russia. And, of course,
and the Ukraine.
Yeah,
well, Putin knows this, and he's in a very strong position because, like you pointed out, all those things, you know, civilization as we know it comes to a standstill. It's not just heating your homes. If you have no energy, you really don't have a developed society. You can't you can't run businesses. You can't do all that stuff you're talking about. And then the copper shortages, and they're not producing that and not refining those things. I mean, this is just it's staggering. It's hard to believe this is happening.
I reckon the price of copper, you know, copper ingots and aluminium ingots is going to quadruple more or less overnight because they're not producing it anymore. They'll have to I don't know what they'll have to do. I mean, even recycling requires heat, large amounts of heat.
Yeah, everything requires energy. And then, as I say, there's a knock-on effect where those things aren't developed because of lack of energy. It's not just your homes and your cars. It's civilization as you know it. And Putin knows this.
Everything.
Yeah, and Putin knows that, and that's why he knows he's in a strong position. He controls so many of the commodities. And then you add on to the fact he's aligned with China, which you've got no positivity in terms of relationships with the U.S., which, like you rightly pointed out, are accelerating aggression over there in the South China Sea.
Yeah.
And you've got African countries saying, when Blinken turns up, maybe we'll not join in this chorus of condemnation and hatred towards Russia. Maybe Russia might be better for us than you, because all you guys have done is come over here and put your little puppet dictators in and wrecked our countries even more and caused us all sorts of problems. So no, we're not going to bother. And India are saying the same thing. Pakistan, same thing, because the U.S. are over there doing regime change with Imran Khan over there, yet his popularity is still very high. And so things are changing. It's not just Putin and his commodities and the fact that he's way ahead of the Jewish West. There's all these other people who don't forget what the United States have done over the last few decades and are absolutely sick and tired of it, and sick and tired of the U.S. having this world reserve currency advantage.
Yes.
You gentlemen mentioned the arms manufacturers, and we were talking about how much the vast majority of this funding, especially this past year, for example, coming from the U.S. For this war. Now Zelensky's going to be a keynote speaker directly before these American defense contractors. Now, we have this article from Blacklisted News, Slava Raytheon, they call it, Zelensky to headline conference of U.S. defense companies. It's actually sourced from Zero Hedge, my correction there. Ukrainian President Vladimir Zelensky has throughout much of the six-month-long Ukraine war been busy rallying support to his side by addressing dozens of Western countries' parliaments, for which Ukraine has since been rewarded with billions of dollars in foreign defense and humanitarian aid. His foremost theme has been a constant refrain of his military urgency, needing more weapons. He's even requested advanced fighter jets months ago, asking Congress to close the skies, or in essence, a no-fly zone. But now, for the first time, it seems he'll go straight to the source, and he's set to be a keynote speaker, as I say, via video link, to a major meeting of American defense contractors later this month. The Hill's confirming he headlines the annual Future Force Capabilities Conference and Exhibition hosted by the National Defense Industrial Association, NDIA, in Austin, Texas, September 21st. So, I mean, you know, and they just love war. It's when they get much wealthier for them and their families and all their cronies' families. So, gentlemen, your thoughts?
That doesn't surprise me. He's already been pleading in front of the, you know, the UN and virtually every other international body. They actually requested 100 HIMARS systems. They asked them, you know, how much do you need to go on the offensive? I think they supplied 12, as far as I know. And then, no, I think it went up to 16. But they've lost half of them. But they're asking for 100. And America don't even have 100 in their stocks. They would have to go into production just for Ukraine. It's a crazy situation we're in. And everyone's giving away their, you know, their reserves. Our reserves, even in NATO countries, are depleted.
Yeah, it's just it's all just part of this complete scam. It's just a big scam. Ukraine's just a complete money laundering black hole. Even I think MSNBC did a report where. They had some talking heads on there, and 70% of the money and the weapons, they reckon they don't know where it goes, you know. So, I mean, this stuff is just going into Zelensky and his little cronies' hands and weapons manufacturers and you know, the politicians in America and Boris Johnson. I mean, who knows where all this money goes, but it's not going to Ukraine, and whatever weapons do arrive there... the Russians either blow most of them up and destroy them, or they take them. And, you know, maybe that's where all those HIMARS went. Maybe if he needs more of them, he might be better ringing the Kremlin.
Yeah, I just sent you another article, gentlemen, out of Blacklisted News, sourced from Armstrong Economics. Is the U.S. sacrificing Europe to maintain global dominance? They're asking.
Yes, they are.
Yeah.
That's exactly what they're doing. What's happening. We're like a sacrificial lamb. They've been talking for years about a theater war. It's a little bit ironic, don't you think, that Zelensky's an actor and they're busy talking about a theater war. They actually believe that they can have a theater war in Europe and watch it on the TV in the US. That's what they believe.
Yeah. And here's another thing as well, which is absolutely absurd, that they should make this claim. But this nuclear plant in Zaporizhia, Russia occupy that plant, all right? So they have taken control of that plant. And yet mainstream media over here is still pushing the narrative that the Russians are shelling the Zaporizhia plant. And, you know, that if they're trying to be fair, which they never are, but because it's so ridiculous, they have to say, well, each side is blaming the other side. So if that's true, we'd have to believe that Russia is shelling itself.
Yeah, that's right. It was absolutely infantile. I couldn't believe they were actually even suggesting that. It was just absolutely ridiculous.
And that is why Putin, I think, brought in the IAEA so that they could see. They could say, okay, you can tell the world and that it's not Russia is bombing this plant, because they'd love to cause damage there and then blame Russia for it.
Well, I'd love to get more of your thoughts on Putin, both of you gentlemen. We have a quick break. We'll be right back. Stick around, folks. Lest we forget.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site, It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
Folks, we're living in a world the likes of which we've never perceived any clearer than we do now. The plan for global governance has been in the works for generations and would have likely been achieved by now but for the fact that the globalists left open their Achilles heel. With all their tools, Federal Reserve System, fiat currency, No Child Left Behind, and then Common Core education introduced to our schools to dumb us down, vaccines, pharmaceuticals to lobotomize us, GMO foods, insertion of compromised or bought and paid for politicians, judges, mainstream media propaganda, all pieced together like a puzzle designed to ultimately bring the world under submission. But with all their strategy, they forgot one thing, knowledge. And knowledge is power. With knowledge, their bombardment is nullified. Folks, with that, as brilliant and knowledgeable as you've become, among the wisest audience of any radio audience in the world, and you are, I want you to take a moment to reflect and ask yourself, how much of that knowledge did I obtain from Republic Broadcasting Network? How high has my consciousness been raised since I've been a listener? How fast am I now able to discriminate truth from fake news by being a Republic Broadcasting listener? How clear am I now able to see the world since I've been listening to RBN? Ask yourselves those questions, folks. Then ask yourself, what is that knowledge worth to me? Like my morning coffee, how would I survive without it? A voice of truth in a sea of lies. Do we not all need to make sure it survives? Like public broadcasting, we are now finding we can only survive with listener support. Censorship, advertisers being attacked, truth itself being attacked. It's the only way through this. We at Republic Broadcasting humbly ask you to become a supporter. Look at your budget and make a determination of what Republic Broadcasting is worth to you and what you can afford on a monthly basis. Go to republicbroadcasting.org and pledge 20, 30, 40, 50, if possible, 100 a month or more if it's affordable. Click the donate button and become a regular monthly donor. Assure both us and yourself that Republic Broadcasting truth will continue to flow like that morning coffee. The network thanks you.
And we are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with my Monday co-host, Paul Edward Stevenson from London, and our additional host for a UK Monday installment, Graham Sutherland from Inverness, Scotland. And yes, this article is saying that Vladimir Putin believes the same thing, that Washington is sacrificing Europe to maintain global dominance. I mean, but at the same time, you have to wonder, I mean, well, maybe right now these blackouts are a sign of him escalating things. I was sending to a friend of ours, Mike Sledge, the blackouts article, and he's commenting, Russia's not playing now. Blackouts means they're going in for the mop-up, he suggests. Potentially could mean an expansion of the war, he said. Raytheon and the military-industrial complex already moving in heavy weapons. Not good. But why would he even have waited this long to step things up? Why not cut off fuel, gas to Europe even sooner, 100%, and say, you know, this has been unreasonable, what you've been doing all these years leading up to this point, what, 8 years leading up to this, really, regarding the Ukrainian situation buildup. Once we were in Vietnam and saw we couldn't win, for optics, you know, the U.S. wanted to stay there for the appearances' sake. And, of course, similar in Afghanistan, you know, staying there, well, it had to do with guarding poppies as well and other things. But certainly it was not something that they expected that they could ever reform as far as the politics or the culture. It's just an absurd notion, an excuse for many of our imposing upon occupying lands across the whole world, right, gentlemen? But so what, I mean, I don't know, a lot of people wonder in the long term, is Putin on board with globalist agendas because he thinks that he can't beat them? But in the meantime, he can still have a multipolar economic system. But, you know, he's, at the end of the day, in the long term, still more with the elites. I don't know. What do each of you have to say about Putin, short and long term?
It's quite a confusing situation, Richard. I sent you a quote by Putin today, and I thought I was quite telling. He's basically saying that, you know, when he first took power, he seen Russia in such a mess, and he stood there and, you know, decreed before God that he would turn it around, he would save Russia, and he found out that he's having to save the whole world because the West have the demons in the West. That was his words. The demons in the West have basically, you know, spiritually destroyed everything in the world. So he's now fighting them.
Yeah. Paul? Well, it's hard to disagree with that. I mean, listen. Putin gave that speech at the St. Petersburg a couple of months ago, and it was a fantastic speech. Was there anything? Remember, we joked with, I was saying, we'll email the Kremlin, see if he'd come on for an interview. because everything he says is exactly pretty much how we see things when it comes to inflation and the state of the West and our so-called leaders and their wars and their everything that they're perpetrating. And Putin is a genuine threat to the Western hegemony. And obviously our listeners should understand, when we talk about the U.S., we're not talking about the United States people. We're talking about a government that's possessed, very like our own, by those of the religion of Judaism. And the culture is produced by that now, rather than being produced by Christianity, which it used to be. And so...
Putin,
yes, of course. And Putin, you know, I think Putin, he found himself in a difficult position with Russia, but he took control of that country and he dragged it up from scraps because the place was looted mostly by, again, Jewish oligarchs by the time, just after or just before he took control of it. And he's turned it around. And I think Russia... in cooperation with big players like India and China, I think these people can look forward to prosperous times. Africa, it could even save Europe demographically because the Jews have been encouraging these open border policies, and it's in their interest to make life difficult for the Africans so that they can come up north. But the Chinese and the Russians are more investing in those areas.
Yes,
and you know, that's important. We don't want any more Africans coming through to Europe because they bring too much violent and sexual crime, and they're a drain on resources and welfare and all that. Now, that's not me beating on black people. It's just history, you know, in history everywhere.
Right.
Well, it looks like we have that is the case.
Right. Looks like we have the bottom of the hour break already, gentlemen. I suppose we could take some calls for the second half, if anyone's interested. We'll be right back. Folks, stick around for these messages from our sponsors.
I want the truth! You can't handle the truth!
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network. Real news. Real talk. Real people. Because you can handle the truth.
The invasion continues. I'm Peter Serafine with today's Liberty Minute. 4.9 million illegal aliens that we know of have entered the nation since Biden took office. 900,000 were gotaways, who were seen but not apprehended. 56 known terrorists were captured in the 4 million aliens that were processed. So using the same ratio of terrorists to aliens, there were probably 12 or more terrorists in the 900,000 gotaways. In reality, that ratio is probably higher because criminals and terrorists don't want to be caught. Fentanyl is now 2/3 of the overdose deaths in America. 1,200 people have been found dead on the U.S. side of the southern border. At least a dozen terrorists roam free in our country. Tell me again how an open border is the humane thing to do. Find more news and commentary at liberty-lighthouse.com. Until tomorrow, see this Pashem Parabellum.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of Happy Packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2 keep it today.
We are back, folks, beyond the official narrative. Republic Broadcasting, Richard Carey here with Paul Edward Stevenson and Graham Sutherland. And let's go to the phones. Looks like we have some callers, hopefully with some interesting comments for our European panel here to give feedback on. Tom in Florida. Hey, welcome, Tom. Happy Monday. How you doing today, sir?
Graham. Richard, happy Monday. First off, they're reporting the United Nations wants people in Europe to go off fossil fuels, and they don't care if they all freeze to death during the winter. And I'm looking at this, I know who's got their hand in that one, and the globalist pigs in Israel and in here in New York, this country. I mean, yeah, they want the Europeans to freeze, but, you know, I'm starting to call you get really frustrated with what's going on, how the majority is being overrun by the minority in this country, Richard. It's just absolutely absurd. Look at California. I'm looking at all these, Richard, by the way, I don't know if I told you, I told Farron the other day, $27,000, which every one of these illegal aliens is getting per year for refunds. Richard, there's no place to put all these people, man.
I heard you on Farron's show, yeah.
Yeah, look at what's going on in Chicago, Richard. As you well know, the Beatles juice is not keeping them in Chicago. She's shipping them out to the suburbs. And those, let me tell you, the white population in the suburbs in Illinois, Chicago, they're not happy. I can tell you that. They're buying guns like crazy. However, they're getting them. They stop this incursion, this Bolshevikism of our country. And it all starts with Zog. Zog wants to run the white man into the ground.
Another good example there, Tom, in that part of the country. Robert Ravolt was just commenting on how the governor of Illinois, you know, which Chicago is located within, Governor Pritzker, he's a total Zionist, and he just put forth this this bill, HB 3653, and it's getting rid of cash bail completely for so many offenses, including, like, you know, aggravated looting, flee, pretty much anything that that doesn't have to do with a murder or an assault. Well, I don't know, because that was an assault. I don't know how many assaults are even included. But, you know, yeah, no cash bail, and they have a ridiculous name for it, Orwellian sort of name for it, the Safety, Accountability, Fairness, and Equity Today Act. I mean, how is there safety and accountability when, you know, they have 48 hours if they, you know, leave the area they're supposed to reside in before anyone even tracks them? These people could be, you know, halfway around the world by then. They're saying drug trafficking is just going to increase with no repercussions whatsoever, gentlemen. And so, yeah, it's happening in the U.S. just as bad. I mean,
this, what's the purpose of it, Richard?
Richard,
we had a lot of the world getting devastated about 100 years ago. We saw a lot of similar. I can't help but think of Weimar Germany in the 20s, for that matter. I mean, there was a lot of this sort of behavior, you know, as far as the criminal elements being released, the red terror, Richard, that we saw in Russia. I mean, you know, coming from these, you know, intellectual communist think tanks, Graham, I think that's the source of much of it. Tom, go ahead.
Yeah, Richard, I just want to say Pritzker's a pig. He's a filthy Democrat, donkey pig, and he's disgusting. And I hope the guy from Sebastian, I hope he calls in your show or Michael Rivero's show to let us know about the Swedish elections. Because I think there's a big movement going on in Sweden where the right party's taking over back to Sweden because they're sick and tired of watching their light-skinned women, blonde-haired women getting raped and all that. The mosque, they're putting mosques everywhere. But that's why I wanted to, what I really want to do is ask Paul. Paul, I don't know why anybody would be clapping for the Queen from what I'm reading about what she's done to England, the country of England, in the last 70 years. Mohammed is the most popular name in London. There's Hindis all over England. You have a heavyweight title fighter named Tyson Fury. I believe he's Irish. I don't know. But he's going around saying the country's been invaded. He's a heavyweight champion of the world. And I'd like to hear what Paul has to say about Tyson Fury comments. I'd like to hear what he has to say about London having more Mohammed, people named Mohammed, than they do Paul or John. I mean, our country's being, our whole world is being annihilated, and it's attacking of the white Anglo males. It's attacking, attack, and they never stop, these Zionists. And what they've done to this country since 1947 is disgraceful, absolutely disgraceful.
Yeah.
And we saved them from annihilation. They would have been wiped out, and, you know, Hitler would have took England if he would have went after him instead of Russia.
I don't agree with that, Tom. I have to tell you, he felt a brotherhood with the English people. Very similar in blood. He didn't want to take over England. That is, I have to say that I disagree highly.
No, Richard, ask Paul about Rudolf Hess, what they did in Spandau Prison. He was the only guy in that prison for 30 years. Why? Because Rudolf Hess had it all. Rudolf Hess was trying to make peace with England because Hitler did not want to kill his own. And Paul knows this, Richard. I don't know if you know this. The first five kings that sat on the throne of England did not speak English. They were German. They spoke the German language. They did not speak English. Is that my lion, Paul? They all spoke German.
Hitler didn't want to take over other nations. He didn't want to take over England. He didn't want to take over America. That is a myth, is what I'm saying, that was put forth in the history by his enemies. Those who write the history books are, of course, the victors, you know. Richard, I have a couple other callers, though, Tom. Tom, no, Richard, I really have to get to a couple of callers here and give everyone equal time.
Do you want me to quickly address his questions?
Please, please, Paul.
All right.
Yes.
Well, first of all, Tyson Fury is essentially Irish, although, you know, he identifies as British, too, because he was born here. But they are Irish travelers. And, yeah, his video went viral when he was condemning the illegal immigrants coming across the channel and correctly called it an invasion. Secondly, the reason that there's a lot of nostalgia, and that's what it is, at the Queen's death and emotion, is because, and I spoke about this on David Duke's show earlier today, davidduke.com, which will be airing tomorrow in more depth. But in the span of her reign, you've seen the transformation and the degeneration and the destruction of the UK and England. And so people, it's almost like when it's not just the death of the Queen that they're mourning. It's almost like officially the end of an era of, and the death of the UK and England they're mourning, I think, because, you know, it was a different country back there. And they look back at the pictures of her when, you know, when she was coronated, and England looked like England, and it's completely changed. And she was the only constant. And, you know, most of us have only known her, and she was quite a charming lady in many ways, and there was some good stuff about her. But they did sit back and watch the destruction occur with multiculturalism and all this diversity and even the whole mental health nonsense and that they're all ambassadors for. And Prince Charles has been out there at Davos, you know, promoting climate change and everything else. So they were impotent, and they allowed the destruction of the UK, and it's to the point that it's unrecognizable now. But that nostalgia is there, and I think that's what it is. People are sort of they see her as representing England when it was England.
Well, that's a great response. And Graham, I mean, you're of the UK as well. I think Tom should want to hear from you as well. I'm sure I and the listeners do.
You had a very good point about the you know, the Saxon, the Saxon sort of link between Germany and England. And Hitler did say he felt a kinship with the English because they were of the same blood. He did say that. But yeah, it was a valid point as well about the German blood in our monarchy. Even the Queen just died there. They changed their name in 1913, I think it was, or 1911, from Saxe-Coburg-Gotha to Windsor, because it sounded more British. But they're actually German.
Right.
Yeah, we know that. We know that. There's actually streets. There's streets in Britain called Saxe-Coburg-Gotha streets. So, yeah, definitely German blood there. German and Scottish, interestingly enough.
Yeah, huh. Interesting. Well, Charlie in Florida is our next caller. Welcome, Charlie. Hey, thanks for holding. Hey, what's on your mind today? Do we have Charlie?
Still there,
there you are.
Can you hear me all right?
I hear you fine now, sir. Yes.
Yeah, I wanted to go back into the Ukraine there, what's going on over there. I really appreciate what that one gentleman had to say about Putin, because a lot of people don't know about his spiritual, his personal spiritual stuff. But a lot of what's going on over there is with this with Russia firing these missiles into these power plants over in the Ukraine. The reason for that is they've had to shut that Zaporizhzhia power plant down. I don't know if you knew that, but they went cold because the Ukrainians have been bombing them like crazy for the last couple of days. And finally, I think it was not last night, but it was the night before last. They finally, the Russians finally had to just shut it down. They had three, I think they were at one-third power, and they shut it down to zero power now because they're constantly being attacked by the Ukrainians. And by the way, if the Ukrainians caused the meltdown or that some kind of reaction there in that nuclear power plant in Zaporizhzhia, from what I understand, it would affect areas all the way up and into Germany, okay, that far away from that.
Yes, it would.
Yes, and so that, yes, go ahead, please.
No, I was just going to say, everybody, and maybe it'll go into Russia. It'll go, obviously, Ukraine will be destroyed. You know, so I mean, and it's obvious that it's the Ukrainians shelling it, and the EA are in there, and they can see the weapons. They're coming from their NATO weapons, and so they need to be responsible if they do cause a big problem there in this plant. Because it'll be the West and NATO's to blame, not Russia. Why would Russia be shelling itself?
Well, it doesn't make any sense at all. Make any sense at all. Yeah, Russia doesn't care. They're not wanting. That power supplies power into Russia too, as well as from what, not just the Ukraine area. So they'd be cutting their own throats by destroying it. But yeah. not only, yeah, but the thing is you're absolutely right. It would cause, and I think if anything would cause a world war, that might do it. I mean, yeah. you know, and then they would try probably end up blaming it on Russia, saying Russia did it. Because, I mean, if they did have some kind of meltdown there, I mean, like you say, it would go all the way up into Germany and maybe even into England. I have no idea, but I know it'll go that what you're saying is probably true. And so it's going to, I mean, these countries are going to react back about that. Or I would think
yeah,
they
well.
Would. So then there
I think
would
the Russians,
World War II. World War III,
I think the Russians need to, I think the Russians maybe, I mean, I'm not a military expert, but they need to deal with this problem. I mean, they might have to bring in the air power because they haven't been using a lot of air power, and they might have to come in and do some carpet bombing to put a stop to that, I think, because it's very dangerous, and they're going to have to nip that in the bud, you know, these, you know, whoever, you know, these little cells that are shelling it, you know.
Well thank you. I agree 100%. Yeah. And then one last thing I just wanted to add on there real quick. Well, that's okay. If you've got another call, I'll let you go. But that's all I wanted to point out is that's, I think it's tit for tat. They're trying to, they're sending a message. Okay, you guys want to play with power. We can play with power. I think Russia needs to take the gloves off and just start going in there and they're doing what they got to do. Take these people out. And if they got to strategically go into Kiev, I think they need to do that as well and take this Zelensky and the whole bunch out. Yep. That's what I think. All right. Thank you.
Thank you, as always, Charlie, for your call. Perhaps we can skip this break, Julie. We have Stephen Douglas Whitener joining us, another one of my fellow co-hosts here. And he's also actually, you know, with his own broadcast, Thought Crime Live. Now, Saturdays, that's 10 a.m. Central, every Saturday right after Farron. Hello, Stephen. And, what did you want to contribute, sir?
Yeah, hello, Richard. Great show. Good to hear y'all. I wanted to mention kind of what Charlie was talking about, this Ukraine thing. There was this movie to start with that came out in the 90s, I think it was, called The Long Kiss Goodnight. It had Sam Jackson and this woman in it, and there was this terror plot, and she was part of the agency. And the whole kind of the punchline of the movie was that the CIA was running the terror plot as a fundraiser so they could get more money for the, you know, for the agency. And it was kind of a it happened before 9/11, but that's what the Zelensky guy's doing in southern Ukraine is he's running a fundraiser with all of this war. He wants more of your money. You mentioned how much money that you and I are sending over there now, and it's for them to get ready for the winter. I mean, they got to get all more money for us because winter's coming. So they've launched this huge offensive down in the southeastern part of Ukraine, or, you know, right along close to Crimea, and they're not really winning, but our media is pumping it up because we're going to start voting on all those dollars we send to Ukraine, y'all. I mean, that's what I wanted to contribute today. That was the observation I wanted to make.
I agree. I think money laundering is a big part of it, and that was going on with Afghanistan. It was going on with Vietnam, for that matter, but certainly in this situation, transfer of wealth and laundering.
Yeah, by the way... I was just going to say, I thought Mike Jones was on particularly good form last night, so it is worth checking out that interview I did with him last night, because we spoke a lot of the Ukraine and jury and stuff like that. But I thought he was in really good form last night, you know.
No, brilliant. Yeah, no, everyone definitely be sure to check out, if you don't live, the archive of Paul Edward Stevenson, Last Man Standing, and that, of course, is 12 a.m. Sunday nights, early Monday. Here on RBN. Well, Graham, let's hear from you, sir.
I mean, it's all really interesting stuff. There's definitely money laundering going on. But there's another elephant in the room that doesn't seem to be being touched at all by any mainstream media. And that is that's the fact that the Ukraine is actually a global child trafficking hub. And they're still to discover it. Apparently it's huge, and it's mostly underground. And they're still looking for it. There's actually a team behind the lines in the Ukraine, a Russian team, looking for it, as you know, non-military team, you know, way behind the lines, looking for it. They know it exists. They're just not sure exactly where it is. And they reckon that's one of the reasons why there is such a hysterical narrative over Ukraine, where we didn't have this hysteria over Iraq or Afghanistan or Syria or whatever. You know, it wasn't headline news, but, you know, Ukraine is being blasted at us hysterically, almost with the same fervor as the COVID fiasco. We're just being absolutely blitzed with it. And they reckon it's them scurrying, you know, like rats in a sinking ship, if you like, to, you know, prevent the Russians from finding their underground child trafficking hub.
Paul? Wouldn't surprise me, not one bit, you know. It's the kind of place where that sort of place would be perfect for it. You know, it's the most corrupt country in Europe, you know. I mean, it's laughable to think, you know, I see these people with flags out here with Ukrainian flags, and it's like, is it willful ignorance? I mean, it's not rocket science. We all get it. We all understand what's happening out there. It's not a democracy. It's not a free country. And they are leading lamb to the slaughter out there. It's just mindless hatred of Russia. And, you know, they don't understand the history of that country. They don't understand the history of what led to that conflict. But it's any honest observer knowing the history would realize that Putin had no choice. He was provoked into it for years and actually showed incredible restraint. And it's a real horrible place for the people who lived there. And what Graham just described wouldn't surprise me one bit.
Stephen?
Yeah. Wouldn't surprise me either. It disgusts me, these Zelenskys, these masters of war that have been doing this thing, like you mentioned, for decades, even centuries, just continue to act with impunity there. And they've got... Well, these people have got to go. I mean,
gentlemen, I mean, I think that a lot of these things are converging to help usher in their solutions with the central bank digital currencies, a greater control with digital IDs, greater global consolidation of, the medical tyranny closing in. Of course, the CO2 and / now nitrogen scam that they have going, and this war fund, the fuel adds to a lot of it with the economics and the food. Everything spills over into everything else. But I think they're trying to bleed the people as hard as possible in Europe and America to prepare for their Hegelian solutions. And I think Ukraine also serves a strong role in that as well, gentlemen.
Yep.
I agree. Yeah, they want everyone under one control grid, and you can only have this digital currency, and the infrastructure for that will be offered as a solution to all this chaos they're creating. And they keep implementing the ability more and more. This executive order in December is going to bring out some digital currency, but it's not going to like be imposed all of a sudden. But before long, it'll be, we have to give you this universal basic income. We're going to take more of your money and give it. I mean, it's just a total scam to gain control, turn this into a prison planet, literally.
And the long term could be related to what's in these shots, you know. I mean, because they're saying they want to turn us into soft robots, potentially. Transhumanism is definitely their ultimate agenda with the masses that they don't kill off. That's the way I'd see it. If you look in the further long term, for those
The problem is, I think I don't think they need the shots to turn about the half of the masses into robots, because that's what they like.
True. Good point. They were already meat puppets, just being programmed by our screens and devices and led around by our drives. Yes, I think they've been very successful with that so far.
Yeah, otherwise you wouldn't have all the support for Ukraine and some of the support for these lockdowns and the insanity of it. And you know, it's really staggering to support lockdowns and quarantine people who aren't sick, destroy businesses and the economy, and to support that. I mean, it's retarded. It really is. And so is the support of this Ukraine and people waving their little Ukraine flags around here and all that virtue signaling. But in Europe, people are getting sick and tired of it, though.
Yeah, it's about time we got sick and tired of this. I'm sick and tired of it. You know, it's just disgusting what's been done to people. They're just going along with it like that. They don't worry about us who are talking, but I'll tell you who they worry about are the people who are listening to us, because a lot more people are listening to us and waking up and starting to see the things for the way they are instead of the way that they are told that they are by Disney and all.
Absolutely.
Yeah, that's a great point. That's one of the silver linings of COVID. They woke up a lot of who in a very naive, childlike state trusted their government and had to conclude otherwise by the end of that charade, you know?
Well, thanks, Stephen, for the call.
Yeah, Graham, thanks for taking my call. Great, guys. Talk with you again soon.
Absolutely. Graham, your final thoughts.
See you later, mate.
Another thing that people are not addressing is the fact that Zelensky and his cronies, including his cronies in the USA, they're all cokeheads. If you look carefully, I've got a big 4K TV, and if you look carefully at Zelensky's nostrils, you'll often see traces of coke around his, you know, around his nose. He obviously has a couple of lines before he goes on to speak, you know, for sure. And, you know, I know what cocaine does. And he's high on coke most of the time. I don't know if you realize that or not. And his cronies, not just him. They're all cokeheads.
Interesting. Paul?
Yeah, again, wouldn't surprise me. I mean, you know, you think the penny would have dropped, and maybe it did for some people, when you've got, you know, frontline green T-shirt wearing Zelensky. And, you know, like this frontline guy. And then he's doing a Vogue photo shoot. Can you imagine, you know, he's out in the battlefield. All right, I need a ceasefire for, give me about an hour. I've got a Vogue shoot to do with the missus. But you guys crack on. The Russians are up there. Just keep firing. See you soon.
Right.
You know, I mean, I don't know anybody in the middle of a war who stops to do a photo shoot with Vogue. And my final thoughts are, with the end of Queen Elizabeth, God save beyond the official narrative.
And Graham, thank you so much for being with us, sir. It was a pleasure, as always. Of course, we'll have you back on soon, sir.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, it was a good show. Passed very quickly.
Yes, indeed. Indeed, it did.
Good to speak to you again, Graham.
Yeah, nice talking to you.
Yeah,
we'll get you on Last Man Standing some night for a chat.
Oh, that'd be great, yeah.
Brilliant.
Yeah, keep in touch.
Yeah, brilliant. I'll make sure you gentlemen have each other's Skypes once again. Keep that refreshed.
Yeah, because we're probably due to do a roundtable as well, soon, I think, maybe.
Yeah.
My issue.
That would be great, yeah. Look forward to hearing that. And Graham, definitely we'll try to rotate you a bit to get you chatting with everyone more regularly again. It was a pleasure, and speak soon to both of you gentlemen.
Okay, thank you, Richard.
Yeah, cheers, Richard. Take care.
Okay, folks. Well, that will be all. And please support RBN. All the information for donating is on the donate page at republicbroadcasting.org. Stick around for Patrick Slattery with National Bugle Radio. Always an excellent broadcast. And we will speak again soon. Transcend the construct. Regards.
My name is John. I'm the founder of Blackout Coffee, and I started Blackout because I really love coffee. I've always loved coffee, and after traveling so much to Europe, South America, and trying so many different coffees that were so good, and every time I came back to the U.S., I was so disappointed with the coffee, so I figured that I had to do something about it. The biggest difference is on the beans and the roasting process, how we roast it, and how fresh it is. The fresher the roast, the better the quality. Here I have like all of the coffee that's roasted within 1 to 2 days prior to being shipped. So it literally gets to consumers' house within 3 to 5 days after being roasted. If you like coffee, you have to try ours. It's fresh roasted. It's one of the best beans that we can get, and you will definitely see the difference.
Visit blackoutcoffee.com and use the coupon code REPUB10. That's REPUB10.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.